Welcome to Your Health Reset, where we address the real root causes behind health issues today to get you rapid results on your health journey so you can be who you came here to be, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Sinclair Keneally, survivor of complex chronic illness, expert on resolving root causes, and co-founder of Detox Rejuvenation and Meditation RX. Let's get started. Welcome back to another interview on It Starts in the Gut Summit with me, your host, Sinclair Keneally, and I am joined by my wonderful friend and luminary in the wellness space, Debbie Silver. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Debbie Silver.
I'm so excited for our conversation.
And you're the founder of a really amazing, I think groundbreaking contribution and body of work in the space, multi-best-selling author, and the founder of the Post-Betrayal Transformation Institute. And I know that comes with a story. I know all about your story, actually, so I don't want to give it away, though. I want you to tell us, how did you come to this body of work?
Yeah, it's actually my 30th year in business. And as life would morph and change, so would business. So it was health and then mindset and then personal development. And no one studies betrayal because you want to. You study because you have to. And I had a really painful betrayal from my family. Thought I did everything I needed to do to heal. A few years later, it happened again. This time it was my husband. So I got him out of the house and looked at the two experiences, thinking, okay, what's similar to these two? Of course, me, but what else? And I realized boundaries were always getting crossed. I never took my needs seriously. And I know if nothing changes. So here I was, 4 kids, 6 dogs, a thriving business. And I'm like, I'm going back for a PhD. And it was in transpersonal psychology, the psychology of transformation and human potential. Because I was changing so much, I didn't quite understand it. He was too, wasn't ready to look at that. And then it was time to do a study. So I studied betrayal. What holds us back? What helps us heal? And what happens to us physically, mentally, and emotionally when the people closest to us lie, cheat, and deceive? That study led to 3 groundbreaking discoveries, which changed my health, my family, my work, my life.
Okay, so you know I can't wait to talk to you all about this. And one of my favorite things about having you as a guest on this summit is that you really are the whole package. You've studied physical health. You've studied all of the emotional and mental aspects to this, and you understand intimately how they are intricately intertwined. And that's why I want you to, like, let's hold down the fort here on this emotional and life history, these layers that we are literally carrying in our bodies, deep in our tissues, and how they affect our physical health.
You know? Oh, absolutely. And that's it. By the time it's affecting us physically, there's so much going on mentally and emotionally too. And it leads me to really the first discovery, which was how different of crisis betrayal really is. And it's not to say which is better, which is worse. They all stink. But I was originally studying post-traumatic growth. And for those who are familiar, if you can imagine, post-traumatic growth is like the upside of trauma. Now, that experience, death of a loved one, disease, natural disaster, whatever, leaves you with a new insight, awareness, perspective you didn't have. But I had been through death of a loved one. I'd been through disease. And I was like, no, betrayal feels different for me. I didn't want to assume. So I asked all my study participants, I'm like, have you been through other traumas besides betrayal? Is it different for you? Unanimously, they said, oh my gosh, it's so different. Here's why. Because it feels so intentional, we take it so personally. So the entire self is shattered and has to be rebuilt. Think about it. Rejection, abandonment, belonging, confidence, worthiness, trust. They're huge and they all get trashed. So that type of healing needed its own name, which is now called post-betrayal transformation. So it's the complete and total rebuild of your life plus the rebuild of yourself equals post-betrayal transformation. And yeah, that was the first discovery, how different of an experience it is. And that's why it hits us as hard as it does.
Wow. Thank you for saying it that way, because I think we all have been through something that we didn't want through. And you're giving voice to so many experiences that are difficult to talk about. So help me understand. Let's unpack this study further for the audience. What were these amazing discoveries that you made?
Yeah. And just to your point, think about it. This was the person. These were the people you trusted the most. So when the person you trusted the most proves untrustworthy, who do you trust? When the one you run to, when other people are causing harm, is the one causing the harm. Where do you go? It shatters any sense of safety and security that you've had. So that's why it rocks us the way it does. And the way it works is the closer you are, the more dependent you are, the bigger the betrayal. So keep it, for example, a child who's totally and completely dependent on their parent and the parent does something awful. It's going to have a different impact than, let's say, your coworker taking credit for your idea. Still a betrayal. Different level of cleanup, though. Yeah. So to get to the discoveries, the first one was that betrayal is so different of a crisis. And that's why it's now called the healing of it is called post-betrayal transformation, because it is that it's required, the rebuild of yourself. You lose someone you love, let's just say, you don't necessarily take it personally. You don't question your sanity. Betrayal has you questioning everything, because you think about it, you're like, the person I trusted the most proved untrustworthy. And I can't even trust myself. Where was I? How did I not see? How did I not know? So if I can't trust the person I trusted the most and I don't trust myself, how in the world can I trust anyone or anything?
What a great point, because this is such a dovetail into like boundaries as well. Like everybody who's been through a betrayal, and maybe I shouldn't speak with such careless terms. Everybody I know that I've talked to has been through a betrayal. Turns out there was stuff to unpack around boundaries as well, leading up to and afterwards.
Like 100%.
Not enough boundaries beforehand and then overcompensating afterwards.
And that's where, and that'll get to the third discovery about where is that balance. But I think here's what everybody watching is going to so appreciate here, because this speaks to just your area of expertise. The second discovery was that there's actually this collection of symptoms, physical, mental, and emotional, so common to betrayal. It's now known as post-betrayal syndrome. So we've had 50, 60,000 people take the post-betrayal syndrome quiz on our site to see to what extent they're struggling. A few things about it, and I actually pulled the stats for you because I want to share these with you.
Yay, please but do.
We've all heard time heals all wounds. I have the proof when it comes to betrayal. That's not true. There's a question on the quiz that says, is there anything else you'd like to share? People write things like, my betrayal happened 35 years ago and I'm unwilling to trust. My betrayal happened 15 years ago. I feel gutted. So we know you can't count on time to heal this one. It may soften it a bit, but it will not heal it. And we can spot an unhealed betrayal a mile away. And I can share that too. You want me to get some of the stats?
Yes, I do. Please do. This is fascinating.
So now imagine 50, 60,000 people, men, women, every age, just about every country is represented. 78% constantly revisit their experience. 81% feel a loss of personal power. 80% are hypervigilant. That's exhausting. 94% deal with painful triggers. And those triggers can take you down. Mm-hmm. The most common physical symptoms. 71% have low energy. 68% have sleep issues. 63% have extreme fatigue. Those are your adrenals. 47% have weight changes. So in the beginning, maybe you can't hold food down. Later on, you're using food for comfort. 45% have gut issues. And that could be anything like Crohn's, IBS, diverticulitis, constipation, diarrhea. The gut is wrecked. Think about it. Think about what the gut does, right? Absorbs, digests, and processes. Is it a betrayal difficult to absorb, digest, and process, right? The most common mental symptoms, 78% are overwhelmed, 70% are walking around in a state of disbelief, 68% are unable to focus, 64% are in shock, 62% are unable to concentrate. So imagine you can't concentrate, you're exhausted, you have a gut issue, you're supposed to work, and you're supposed to raise your kids and manage all of this. That's not even the emotional ones. Emotionally, 88% experience extreme sadness. 83% are very angry, and it's really common to bounce back and forth between those two, which is exhausting. 82% feel hurt. 80% have anxiety. 79% are stressed. So just a few more. This is why I wrote the book, Trust Again. Ready? 84% have an inability to trust. 67% prevent themselves from forming deep relationships because they're afraid of being hurt again. 82% find it hard to move forward. 90% want to move forward, but they don't know how.
Wow. Wow. And when you pair that with the awareness of losing trust in your own gut instinct, and like you said, like I'm a big fan of listening to people's metaphors. Like we know from work like symbolic modeling, that's our subconscious talking to us about our internal experience. Trust your gut. Do I listen to my gut? Can I trust it anymore? Feeling gutted, that really hit home.
So I'm going to take it one. Yeah, I'm going to take it even further. Ready? And those statistics are staggering. Look how high they are. Here's the crazy part. Those statistics aren't necessarily from something that happened recently. That could be from a betrayal that happened decades ago. So think about it. Here's this betrayal when you were a kid, maybe from your parents, maybe it was a boyfriend or girlfriend who broke up with you in high school, whatever it was. And when that's unhealed, right, those symptoms are developing. And now as we get older, we're like, oh, it's aging. It's just stress. No, it's not. It's your unhealed betrayal.
This is a really important point to make. And I'm so glad you're saying this because, like, we know from looking at the gut health perspective that almost 2/3 of Americans, 61%, have experienced digestive issues in the last 7 days. So we're looking around at each other thinking, this is normal. It's not normal. It's just common. And if you think about it, only takes one betrayal to change your physical felt experience, and it could be decades ago, and you still have to muddle through. This really stacks up.
Oh, yeah.
Please tell us, Dr. Debbie, that you're going to make it better.
Oh, I'm going to make it so much better.
Hang on, everybody. We're going to get there. Stick
yeah.
with us.
So can I tell you the third discovery?
Yes,
this is how I make
go.
It better. Okay. So here, for me, this was the most exciting. And what we learned was, while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, and so many people do, if we're going to fully heal, meaning symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome, to that whole healed, great, amazingly, wonderful state of post-betrayal transformation, we're going to go through 5 now proven predictable stages. Mm-hmm. What's even more exciting about that is we know what happens physically, mentally, emotionally at every stage, and we know what it takes to move from one stage to the next. Why is that good? Healing is entirely predictable.
Wow. Okay.
I'm happy to share those stages.
Yes, please do.
All right. So, mapped out in trust again. It's what our coaches are certified in. I'm going to give you a distilled version of them right here. So stage one, this is before it happens. And if you can imagine 4 legs of a table, the 4 legs being physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. What I saw with everybody was a real heavy lean on the physical and the mental, thinking and doing, and not really prioritizing, neglecting the emotional and the spiritual, the feeling and being. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say if you're just busy thinking and doing, you will be betrayed. Right. I'm not saying that, but that's the profile we saw. But think about a table. If there's only 2 legs, it's easy for that table to topple over. And that's us. Stage 2, by far the scariest of all of the stages. And this is shock, trauma, D-Day, Discovery Day. And it's the breakdown of the body, the mind, and the worldview. Right here, you've ignited the stress response. You're headed for every single stress-related symptom, illness, condition, disease. Your mind is in a complete and total state of chaos and overwhelm. You cannot wrap your mind around what you just learned. This makes no sense. And your worldview has just been shattered. Your worldview is your mental model, the rules that govern us, that prevent chaos. Don't go there. Trust this person. This is how life works. And in a moment or series of moments, everything you've known to be real or true is no longer. The bottom's bottomed out, and a new bottom hasn't been formed yet. It's terrifying. But think about it. If the bottom were to bottom out on you, what would you do? You grab hold of whatever you could to stay safe and stay alive. And that's stage 3. Survival instincts emerge. It's the most practical out of all of the stages. If you can't help me, get out of my way. How do I survive this experience? Where do I go? Who can I trust? How do I feed my kids? Here's the trap. Ready? Stage 3, by far, hands down, is the most common place to get stuck. And people stay there forever. And here's why. Once you've figured out, and I hope everybody is figuring out, like, am I here or not? Once you've figured out how to survive your experience, because it feels so much better than the shock and trauma of where you just came from, you're like, okay. And we think it's good. And because we don't know there's a stage 4 or stage 5, transformation doesn't even begin until stage 4. But because we don't know there's anywhere else to go, we start planting roots here and 4 things happen. We're not supposed to stay here, but we don't know that. The first thing is we start getting these small self benefits. We get to be right. We get our story. We get someone to blame. We get a target for our anger. We get sympathy from everyone we tell our story to. We don't have to do the hard work of learning to trust again. Can I trust you? Should I trust you? Forget it. I'm not going to trust anybody. So we plant deeper roots. We're not supposed to, but we don't know that. Now, because we're here longer than we're supposed to be, the mind starts doing things like, maybe you're not all that great. Maybe you deserved it. Maybe this, maybe that. So we plant deeper roots. Now, because these are the thoughts you're thinking, this is the energy you have. That's what you're putting out there. Like energy attracts like energy. So now you're calling situations and circumstances and relationships and people towards you to confirm you're exactly where you belong. It gets worse, but I'll get you out of here. Because it feels so bad.
Come on now.
Yeah. And the misery loves company crowd, they're right here. Because it feels so bad, but we don't know there's anywhere else to go. Right here, we resign ourselves. We're like, this stinks, but I guess this is it. So I better find a way to be okay with it. So we start using food, drugs, alcohol, work, TV, keeping busy, reckless behavior. Now think about this. We do this for a day, a week, a month. Now it's a habit. A year, 10 years, 20 years. Sinclair, I can say to somebody 20 years out and look and say, emotional eating you're doing, or that drinking you're doing, or that numbing in front of the TV, do you think that has anything to do with your betrayal? And they would look at me like I'm crazy. This thing happened 20 years ago. All they did was put themselves in stage three and stay there. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you went right through them so quickly. I really want to draw your attention back to the work piece, because people think, look, I'm recovered. Look how hard I can work.
No, you just chose a distraction that to other people is admirable.
Yeah. I don't drink. I don't use sugar, but how hard are you working?
Yeah.
What does your gut say about that? Yeah.
Exactly. Or people are like, no, I'm good as long as I don't see them. No, you're not. That's not good. Yeah. And that's why stage three, so much so that from hardened to healed, I wrote that because it's just for stage three, because that's where everybody lands and stays. And you've been through the worst of it already. You owe it to yourself to have that transformation that's waiting for you at stage five. So you want me to go through stage four and five?
I do. And I want to ask you one last question about stage three. So Is this where people start to see physical conditions like chronic 100%. Stuff pop up the most?
Yeah. They start in stage two and they grow in stage three. And then because that's where you're living, that's where you're staying, that's the energy you have, that's the mindset that gets created, then it's a game of whack-a-mole. Because think about it. 45% of everybody, you know, who've been betrayed has a gut issue. They could go to someone like you, right? Who does this better? Nobody. But meanwhile, it's like at the root of it is this unhealed betrayal. So then they get frustrated because they can only go so far with their transformation because that healing hasn't happened. And so then they're frustrated and they're like, now what do I do? And that frustration and that upset, it's like this negative spiral that just continues.
It's so helpful to hear. And I know so many people listening in are resonating with this. So I'm gonna give them some relief. Let's talk about stage four and five.
Yeah.
Just get out of this, Debbie.
Here's the thing, and it is predictable. So you can move forward. You absolutely can. I didn't do anything anybody else couldn't do. So if you're willingness is such a gigantic word here. If you're willing to let go of the benefits, those small self-benefits you were getting, grieve, mourn the loss, bunch of things you need to do, you move to stage four. Stage four is finding and adjusting to a new normal. Mm-hmm. So here's where you acknowledge, I can't undo that, but I control what I do with it. Just in that decision, you're turning down the stress response. So you're not healing just yet, but right there, you just stopped the massive damage you'd been creating in stages two and stage three. Right. So the body's not healing, but at least you stop the damage. I use the example of if you've ever moved to a new house, office, condo, apartment. It's not quite cozy yet. All your stuff isn't there, but it's going to be okay. And that's the energy of stage four. Now, what's so interesting also about it is if you were to move, you don't take everything with you. You don't take the things that don't represent who you want to be when you're in that new space. And what I found was if your friends weren't there for you, right here, you've outgrown. And people send me all the time, what the heck? I've had these friends 10, 20, 30 years. Is it me? Yes, it is. You're undergoing a transformation. And if they don't rise, they don't come. Very common to change friendships at this stage. Very common. So you're not crazy. This goes on all the time. When you've made stage four kind of mentally home and okay, you move into the fifth most beautiful stage. And this is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. The body starts to heal. Self-love, self-care, eating well, exercise. We didn't have the bandwidth for that earlier. Now we do. The mind is healing. We're making new rules. We're making new boundaries, like you mentioned before, right? based on the road we just traveled. And we have a new worldview based on what we see so clearly now. And the four legs of the table, in the beginning, it was all about the physical and the mental. By this point, we're solidly grounded because we're focused on the emotional and the spiritual too. Those are the five stages.
Oh my God, what a masterpiece of a body of work. I'm just floored. I want to talk to you about this first. I want to talk about so many things. So I want to know, first of all, I love what you said about relationships and transformation and not growing people, because we talk to folks all the time in our practice and our students who have so much grief about outgrowing people, and but how they experience is feeling left behind because they are no longer met or heard in their relationships, and they become a one-way street where they're giving and there's nothing on the other side. And what they're actually doing, I deeply believe this, is they're maturing and transforming, and they're no longer a fit for those people. So it's not actually personal at all, even though it feels deeply personal.
Yeah. And here's the thing. They're not changing. We are. Can I show you something with my hands? You will never forget this. Ready? When we're in a relationship and then, you know, there's a betrayal or there's a shattering of trust or something, we're devastated, we're blindsided, we're so heartbroken. And we're like, I just want that to end, that feeling to end. I want it to be okay again. And this is why we have repeat betrayals, because all we are is a match to this. And what I caution everybody against is this is the most opportune time to do the work to get to your physical, mental, and emotional best. Now, here's what happens. If you're so invested in, but I just have to be okay with this person, and you do this, you will constantly sabotage yourself because you don't want to outgrow them, right? You're like, but I like this, but why can't they do this? They're not ready. So what happens is, here you are doing the work, they're not. And then you get this, where they're like, ooh, what happened to you? And you're like, ooh, I'm not the least bit interested in you. So what you want to do is do this, and a few things can happen. You each go your own way, right? If that's meant to be. This person says, I better step up my game to meet the strength of this person. Or there's somebody else who comes in at this level, because this is where you live.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a beautiful, simple, profound way of explaining what so many of us go through. And it also explains why we sabotage ourselves to stay in relationship with people, because we don't want to lose that connection. We think, oh, I'll just come back down to where they are just for a minute to try to bring them back up with me. But you actually lose your sense of self when you do that.
And this is also why betrayal lends itself to creating an entirely new, a really new identity. You take all the parts you love, you leave behind everything that doesn't serve, because there is a complete and total crash and burn of the old. Mm. But that's how you birth the new. And so many people are so afraid of that crash and burn, so they just try to patch it up. It doesn't work. And in fact, there were three groups in my study who didn't heal. And you'll see.
We want to know this. Okay.
Yeah. So the first was a group that they just had their story and they were sticking with it. That was it. They had their story, deeply rooted in stage three. The second group, they were numbing, avoiding, distracting. So may have made the day a bit easier, but they ran to the doctor to put them on a mood stabilizer or anti-anxiety med. They would numb in front of the TV. They would drink. They would emotionally eat. They didn't heal. The third group, this was the group where the betrayer had very little consequences. So whether it was out of financial fear, not wanting to break up a family, religious reasons was a big one. Whatever it was, they just tried to turn the other cheek, get over it. I saw two things with this group. The first thing was only a further deterioration of the relationship. The second thing was this group by far was the most physically sick.
So interesting.
Your broken heart can't handle that.
Yeah.
But people are so afraid of that crash and burn. But that's the only way you birth the new.
I completely relate to this. I don't think this has to do with emotional intelligence or, you know, IQ. This is really difficult for anybody, even with like vast maturity and strength and creativity, to go through this.
It's so hard. And that's why. And listen, I've been in the ICU for 11 days. I've lost loved ones. Nothing for me was as hard as this. And here's the thing, though. Rebuilding is always a choice, whether you rebuild yourself and move on. And that's hard in its own way. I did that with my family. Wasn't an option to rebuild with them. Or if the situation lends itself, you're willing, you want to, you rebuild something entirely new with the person who hurt you. And that's what I did with my husband. Not long ago, we married each other again. But for me, it was only a possibility because I was completely new, and for sure he was too. But that's the opportunity. But when you're so busy hanging on to the old, you can't get that. For me personally, it's like, that was the deal breaker. I was like, all right, 4 kids, 6 dogs, a business, and now a PhD. All right, I'm just going to figure out how to do this. I was terrified. And on his own, he was like, what the heck? And did the work there. Betrayal will show you who someone truly is, but it also has the opportunity to show the betrayer who they've temporarily become. It could be as big of a wake-up call for them.
It's such a good way to say it, because I think that, I know for me personally, going through the betrayal experience I had with my family, it was, I did the weight thing. I lost 8 pounds immediately, then gained 40 pounds over a few months. It was over the holidays. I gained 20 pounds in 10 days and could not get it off for over a year. It was just so much sadness just holding on. And I wanted to die so many times. I wrote my goodbye letters. I just did not want to be without them. I couldn't believe it had happened. And then, you know, what was interesting was somehow getting to the other side of that and deciding deep in my bones, I'm going to make something beautiful out of this. I'm going to make this the most loving, meaningful existence I possibly can and touch as many lives as possible because I survived that.
And that's the gift. Then it's trauma well served. Otherwise, it's like a bad game of hot potato where it's just on you and that's it. Look, I had a very powerful story. Everybody I ever trusted betrayed me. My family, my husband. I would have gotten sympathy from a lot of people. But instead, it's such a better story when you do something good with something so painful. That's the opportunity. That's the seed that's planted. What do you do with it? I'm giving you all kinds of hand things. I'm going to give you another one because it just came to me. Most people, right? This is the stage three. They live right here. Not so good, not so bad. Imagine if this is a pendulum, right? Under the radar. Don't look at me. I'm just going to get through, just survive. Trauma comes along and slams you and brings you right here. The problem isn't that you find yourself here. The problem is that you stay here. The problem is that you plant roots here. The problem is that you think you belong here.
That's as good as it gets.
That's it. The whole idea is now, because you're here, you have everything you need to do this, right? And then the opportunity is you teach whatever you did slowly, quickly to do this. That's what you teach. Think about any thought leader that they're not teaching anything from here. And they're not teaching much from here, although great like poems and love songs. Right?
Yeah.
This bit. They've done this and they're teaching us how to do this too. That's the opportunity.
So interesting. Okay. So for people who know they're listening to this and they're like, ooh, I have a little gut feeling, a little gut knowing right now, a little tension in my tummy that I am in stage 1, 2, or 3. How do we help them move to the next step? What advice would you have, say, for someone that's been rooted in their story for a long time and they know that there's an emotional component to working on getting all the way physically?
Yeah, that there are 5 stages and just knowing where you are, really, even if you realize you're in that shock, blindsided, you're stuck, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. As long as you do, every single thing you do can only move you 1 of 2 ways, further or closer to the body, health, life, lifestyle you want. So even if you move 1 degree closer by saying, okay, wow, I didn't realize I'm in stage 3. What thought? What action, what food choice, what anything could help me move through that stage 3 and onto that stage 4? Because 1 degree is still that 1 degree in the right direction.
I love that. I tell people all the time, you don't have to know how. All you have to say to yourself, say to yourselves, your tissues are listening all the time, to say, I'm ready to be ready.
I am ready to be ready. I love that. And willingness, just be willing. Yeah. If you're willing. That people ask me all the time, how long does it take to heal? And the truth is, it has so much less to do with other factors than it has to do with willingness.
Amazing point. And Michael has a good answer to this too. And his is essentially, he's a very kind person, a very quiet, contained person. But this is where you see just how no bullshit he is. Someone will ask him that and he will say, who cares? Who cares how long it takes? As long as you know you're making progress every day, you can be at peace in the process.
Yeah.
Who cares?
That's so great. And I would just really share this too. There's a saying, I've been saying this for my 30 years in business. I have clients from that many years ago that still remember this, right? It applies to every single area of life. You may want to write this down. That's my way of saying write this down. Ready? Hard now, easy later. Easy now, hard later. Take your pick. It's going to be one of those two. And when it comes to healing betrayal, it's hard now, easy later. But what so many people do is easy now, hard later. Look at, let's say, from health. Here's the cookies. I want them. Okay. Hard later. I can't button my pants. Hard now. There's the cookies. I'll have an apple instead. Easy later. Woo-hoo, look at me. You see what I mean? You can apply it to every area of life and it works. But when it comes to this kind of healing, it's hard now, easy later. Not going to lie. It's hard work, but it is also the most transformative work you'll ever do.
Yes. Wow. You are a breath of fresh air. It's like a big hug for everybody listening. I think I know it is for me. And I'm so amazed how people transform in your presence, Debbie. I just see it all the time. And I'm so grateful that you're here doing this work. And I'm so grateful we get to be friends.
I know. Thank you for the work you do. Honestly, it's like, you're here on the planet doing exactly what you're supposed to do. And I just so respect and appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, my love. Really appreciate you.
Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.